Welcome back to QR Calgary and More Than Money. Liana, it's been a good show so far. I think we need to chat about one thing that we've seen a trend in happening this year when it comes to people and their portfolios. So before the break, I was talking about, you know, these are the things that financial institutions are not going to tell you about your investments. Mm-hmm. And I think the one key thing that people have to understand, there's no benefit in discussing risk, only return.
Well, that's the thought. That's what gets advertised. You can earn X percent. And that is full stop, the only thing that we hear about. But what kind of risk do you have to take on to earn that percent is a question that I don't think gets asked often enough. And then the other question is, risk is actually quite a difficult concept to either break down into numbers or break down in a meaningful way. So then the other question becomes, how do you do that? So maybe let's start with the risk versus return question mark. We know that you have to take on some level of risk in order to earn return in your portfolio. That's what you're rewarded for. But what does that actually mean?
Yeah, so when it comes to risk, we'll use the word volatility. There are multiple risks that we can identify. One is 100% loss of capital. Let's take that off the table for a second. Let's assume that when an investor is going in, they are not looking at that there is a risk of 100% loss of their capital. Let's take that off. Let's talk about volatility. And I think this is where the lion's share of the industry is headed. We have already started to see more and more investments, portfolios, money managers talk about their rates of return. And we've pulled off a couple of well-known, well-managed, phenomenal portfolio managers in this country. And I've got the data in my hand. And I'll give you an example. We'll call it Portfolio 1 versus Portfolio 2 over the last 10 years. Portfolio 1 has an 8% average annual rate of return. Portfolio 2 has a 10% average annual rate of return. 10's better than 8. Take the 10.
If that's the only information you're given, the logical thing would be to say, well, give me the 10% return. That's what I'm looking for.
And that's all they're going to be given. Because when you're trying to promote your product, when you're trying to promote your portfolio or yourself, you always talk about your performance. You don't talk about the risks you have to take or willing to accept in order to have that performance. So we did some digging. Mm-hmm. And let me go into this. Portfolio 1 has a rate of return of 8% on average over the last 10 years. Portfolio 2 is 10%. Portfolio 1, which has lower rate of return, the volatility or risk you need to be willing to accept is 10% swings. So you need to be willing to accept of around $100,000 drop for every $1 million you invest. If you want 2% more, you have to be willing to take in portfolio number 2, 15 to 16% swings. So if you have $1 million, now it's $150,000 drop. We know, and we've been doing this for a long time, when people make money, they speak in percent. When they lose money, they speak in dollars. So that's why I'm bringing up the dollars. And I wish that our industry, at some point in the near future, puts the risk metric up. And they say, we did, if I was portfolio number 2, 10% average rate of return, but you need to take on a 15% risk or $150,000 per million. And portfolio 1 then can say, 8% rate of return with $100,000 risk or 10%. You decide which one you want based on that risk tolerance level.
Well, and the interesting thing is, I think one of the reasons that a lot of advisors don't show people that is because that's a measure of the measure of risk. There are several measures of risk, but one of those is standard deviation. It's complicated to explain. The math is complicated behind it. The formula is long and intimidating for a lot of people, and so it's very difficult to conceptualize for most people. When you say 10% volatility, 10% downside risk, something like that, what does that actually mean for me in dollar figures? If you actually break that down and say, on my portfolio of $1 million, this is what this could mean for me. In any given year, I could see on average a $100,000 loss. Am I comfortable with that? It allows people to actually do the gut check properly.
Correct.
Where they can actually say, can I sleep at night with that potential?
And Leanna, I believe that most of our peers in the industry don't even know what their volatility of their portfolios are.
Potentially.
Unless they're given that data from their firm and they take that information and they use it as part of their portfolio construction, I don't think they really know. I have peers in the industry, friends, run their own portfolios, and I ask them, what's your risk matrix, what's your volatility? And they look at me going, what? I don't know that number. Like, you haven't memorized how much risk you're taking for your clients? No. I just buy on the quality of the company. So you could take 15, 20, 30% risks. Yep. And you're okay with that? Yep. Are your clients? Don't know.
Well, they're focused on performance over time. That's the number that they're really looking at, is that return number. And whatever it takes them to get to that return number is what they'll do, which for some clients might be fine. And then it becomes a feedback loop from the clients. If you've got clients calling you going, I'm not comfortable with where my portfolio is today, that's when they go, well, maybe I should take some of the riskier stuff out of your portfolio. But then the question becomes, is that right for all of your clients? And for us in particular, because we focus on retirement, because we work with people who are retiring or approaching retirement, they are not able to absorb that level of risk over time. So that's it, that's also part of the question. Where are you in your life? Are you comfortable? Do you have a long enough time horizon that to say, it's okay, I've got 30 years for this thing to come back if it takes a 15, 20% drop?
And it's not only what are you comfortable, that gut check, it's also what's realistic in your financial situation. Because if you take a 15% drop or a 10% drop, how long will it take you to recover? Because you will need those assets in the future. The longer the recovery rate, the less chance of you having a successful retirement, so it'll last throughout your retirement. That's the key thing. You may be comfortable that you can take a whole bunch of volatility, but that may not be suitable for your situation.
Well, exactly. And because we only have a couple minutes left, that actually brings up a good point about risk and risky or non-risky assets. GICs are a big conversation these days.
Correct.
Rates are great. But what are the risks that people don't think about with GICs?
I actually had a person that came in and said, I want to buy GICs. What do you think? And I'm like, that's an option. It's completely on the table. So let's put all the risks of owning GICs on the table. And they looked at me and said, it's risk-free. I said, aha. So how long of a GIC are you going to buy? You're going to buy a 100-year GIC? There's no such thing. Okay, so what's the time frame, the term? Oh, let's go 3 years because that's the highest rate, and then it starts to fall after 3 years. Okay, so what happens after 3 years? Well, I don't know. Whatever the rates are. So reinvestment risk is an issue. Yep. Yes. Okay. Are you only going to live off the interest? Yes. So let's say it's 5%. You got your $1 million. You're making $50,000. What if you need an extra $1,000? Where are you going to get it from? Ooh. Access to capital risk, right there. And then, is it the most tax efficient? So you're going to be put on a fixed budget with no access to capital, with the least tax advantage, and you're telling me there's no risk of investing in a GIC? Sure there is. You just have to be aware of what they are, and do they fit your circumstance?
Well, and that's exactly the point, I think. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter which product that you go to. It has to suit your situation. That's the important piece.
Of course, at any time that you were talking about portfolios, risk, returns, products like GICs and so forth, make sure you get the proper financial advice before you go ahead with any investment strategy. And we're going to talk about our investment strategy at our upcoming seminar.
That's right. Join us on Tuesday, August 15th, 7 p.m. live in person at the Carriage House Inn here in Calgary. Now, you do need to register, so please go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register, and we hope to see you there.
We will see you there. And on behalf of Leanna and myself, Faisal, thank you for joining us on More Than Money on QR Calgary.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.